This is a Travel Channel podcast. Check out Discovery Network's complete podcast lineup at discoveychannelradio.com.
From a parched desert in South America to a rain-soaked farm field in the United Kingdom, something very strange is going on.
Whether they're man-made, alien, or spiritual, I wouldn't like to comment on.
Is some cosmic big brother pulling a fast one?
I cannot let go of the idea that something is aware of everything we do.
In Peru, giant images from the days before Christ are etched into the desert landscape and can only be seen with a bird's eye view. And in another hemisphere, a sacred Stonehenge is shrouded in mystery.
The energy here is palpable. You can almost feel it.
Are these mysterious carvings and formations signs? And if so, from whom? And what are they meant to say? The journey begins on Weird Travels. Across the globe, ancient civilizations have left something behind, something mysterious, a riddle only they know how to solve. They are aligned with the sun, the moon, and the stars. They crisscross over Earth's unseen energy lines, and they inspire wonder and awe in anyone who sees them. What inspired people to spend centuries creating these massive monuments? Are they signs from advanced ancient civilizations or from extraterrestrials? While we can't go back in time, we can still search for clues that will help us understand what they were trying to say. These messages all have one thing in common. They're found in the sacred lands of ancient civilizations. The historically haunted British Isles is one such place. For thousands of years, the inhabitants of these small islands have wielded tremendous influence around the world, from ancient Druid priests to the modern-day British Empire. Here, in this powerful and mysterious land, sits perhaps the most well-known and mystifying sign on the planet. Stonehenge draws us in, as it has for centuries. It's a site of pilgrimage where people stand in awe of its simplistic beauty and ingenious engineering. But so many questions are still left unanswered.
I can't comprehend how they managed to put those stones in place without machinery. It's not until you actually see this thing in real life that you realise the enormity of it.
How did people, how many thousands of years ago, drag these stones hundreds of miles and erect them there? Incredible. And why? Why did they do it?
Of course, it's not known how the stones were brought here. The ones of the outer ring, about 20 tons each, as they are, shaped. But they must have been even bigger before they were cut down.
But some say the magic behind Stonehenge isn't in the stones, but in the electrified air around them.
There's definitely a reason for them placing Stonehenge here. So there are at least 27 or maybe more Earth energy lines flowing through this one point, which is the most energy lines anywhere that I've ever seen.
Does this ancient circle of stones possess a power beyond the understanding of modern science? Some say the answer is as simple as a circle.
Circles are unbroken. There's no beginning and no end. And that is a very powerful kind of message for anything, isn't it?
Today, modern-day druids still flock to this sacred circle for the annual summer solstice celebration. Celebrating the summer solstice is an ancient tradition. The source behind the mysterious signs of Stonehenge dates back thousands of years to the dawn of civilization on the British Isles.
6,000 years ago, farming began widely across Britain, and the people around here, for the first time, were cutting down trees, opening up fields, and building the first monuments, the first monuments being long barrows. In those days, everybody was living off the land. Everyone was a farmer. They had a fragile and risky life.
For thousands of years, the people of Stonehenge began studying the world around them, learning its secrets, and creating sacred pagan shrines that harnessed Earth's unseen powers.
They created a model religion that could explain it. It was, in fact, a simple, natural religion.
The barrows connected these farmers to the Earth, but what inspired them to quarry 50-ton stones and to transport them over 20 miles from Marlborough Downs?
It was about 2500 BC that the bluestones were being brought from Wales. And about 50 years later than that, the big sarsen stones were being brought from the region of Avebury. That was such a big undertaking that it took a century or two or three to achieve. And I can say that the people who started the operation never saw it finished. But they were compelled to play their bit in the building for some greater reason.
What was the greater reason that compelled a poor farmer to spend his entire life working on a monument he would never see completed? The answer may lie in the unusual formation of the stones themselves.
The way in which it works is this. The sun at midsummer solstice rises and shines through to reach the altar stone. The altar stone was standing vertical. It's the focus of the whole monument.
Stonehenge was an enormous and perfectly aligned sundial, built to honor the summer solstice, the single most important astrological event in the lives of these ancient people.
For the mass of people standing outside of the monument, witnessing the sunrise, this represents the consummation of the gods, the sky god and the earth goddess. For them, meant the renewal of life another year.
Recently, scholars have begun to investigate what drew ancestors of modern-day Britons to this very spot, and they found the answer to their question lies in the powers of the earth. Anthony Kennish uses a dowsing rod to locate earth energy lines. Dowsing is an ancient technique used by farmers all over the world, often to find sources of water.
Okay, I'm just locating the ley line that runs through to Avebury. So it flows through Stonehenge straight through to Avebury, which is another sacred site and large henge.
According to Anthony, the ley lines that surround Stonehenge are connected to other mysterious sites around the world.
The civilization here in Stonehenge, the Neolithic people, were at a similar time to a lot of the early Egyptian civilizations and probably the Indian civilizations and Chinese civilizations. So you can draw a parallel that all those different civilizations also had this knowledge about earth energies and placing sacred sites, sacred temples on particular energy lines.
Stonehenge is more than a popular tourist attraction. It's an outstanding feat of engineering, a monument to Mother Earth, and a center for the Earth's unseen forces. For a tiny island, Britain is full of things we don't understand, and Stonehenge is just the beginning. Could there be a connection between the ancient Stonehenge and today's crop circles? In the shadow of Stonehenge, along England's rural countryside, another mystery has emerged under the cover of night. In the sleepy county of Wiltshire lies the wheat fields of farmer Tim Carson. In many respects, this might seem like a typical family farm. But on a warm summer night in 1990, something happened that changed this family farm into a hotspot for the paranormal. Someone, or something, had left behind a sign in Tim's wheat field.
The date was July the 12th, 1990. It's not a date that you easily forget. When things suddenly changed, as we were driving up the hill and looked down into this field and just saw, you know, a lot of flattened wheat. We could tell it was in some sort of pattern.
The cryptic pattern Tim Carson saw in his wheat field was just one of a growing number of crop circles that seemed to appear overnight. Some say it was like an epidemic sweeping through southern England.
Since the 1980s and 1990s, the circles have become increasingly complex, become large shapes, very complicated designs.
Worldwide, an average of 250 crop circles are reported each year. And since the late 1980s, a number of hoaxers have come out to take responsibility for making some circles. But even the man-made circles are fascinating in their own right for crop circle investigators.
If an extraterrestrial comes here from Alpha Centauri with their beam ship, well, of course they can make a circle with their lasers or whatever in a second and leave and go back. And that, of course, would create strange effects. But if people are making these circles and it creates the strange effects to us, that's even a bigger story because it means people are part of the magic.
But experts claim hoaxers account for only 5% of crop circles and that many of the circles are too complex and appear too quickly to be man-made.
Many people have seen balls of light around the crop circles. How they're connected, we don't know. And what they are, we don't know. But they're fascinating. It's not of this world.
It seems that crop circles most often appear in very particular and very ancient spots.
Wiltshire and Hampshire, the two counties that most crop circles appear in, are two very ancient counties. They were the first counties to be habitated and farmed by modern man. You've got Stonehenge, you've got the burial mounds all round here, we've got a Neolithic fort up on the hill. You know, it's just an ancient area.
Some believe these crop circles are mystical symbols from ancient civilizations whose magical spells still permeate this sacred soil. Others say the earth is speaking to us, just like it did to the ancients, and that they too experienced crop circles. In fact, many believe that Stonehenge was built on the very spot of an ancient circle.
The area is very sacred because it goes back in time. And it was sacred to the ancients. They built all these wonderful stone circles and monoliths. And I believe that the crop circles are almost a mediating tool that crosses time and connects us to our true internal selves, actually.
Some say the answer has nothing to do with the ancients, but with the aliens. Are extraterrestrials sending us signals from distant galaxies? The crop circle craze is relatively recent, but the history of crop circles dates back thousands of years.
Even in the Old Testament, in some of the Dead Sea Scrolls, there are references to strange markings in the fields and strange lights being seen.
When a few simplistic circles began appearing overnight in the fields around Hampshire and Wiltshire, a worldwide phenomenon was born. Some of the first formations were in the shape of a Celtic cross, an occult calling card from an ancient age that lured both scholars and paranormal researchers to the wheat fields of England, eager to decode their meaning. And Busty Taylor, a light aircraft pilot, teamed up in the early 1980s and began researching the crop circle phenomenon. In the late 80s, they were asked by the then Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher, to put together a scientific report on the crop circles for the British government. Since then, they have been considered among the leading experts in their field.
That he picked up on the spirituality, the spiritual aspect of it, and recorded what he saw in stone circles like Stonehenge and Avebury.
But even if the circles are somehow related to the culture of England's ancient people, what's the link? Some say the answers can be found in the heavens.
There were eyewitness accounts, actually, of these small circles being formed in 10 to 15 seconds. But we thought if these large, complicated patterns that we see nowadays are being formed in 10 to 15 seconds, what could explain the pattern? And it seems intelligent, like there's intelligent design at work, that craft were coming over and other civilizations were making these. And UFOs are seen in and around crop circles, so that certainly was a possibility.
Even without photographic evidence, many believe the sudden appearance of the circles, the perfection and complexity of their design, and sightings of light orbs around the circles are proof that aliens are creating the formations.
Not all crop circles can be explained as artistic efforts. We don't know where they came from. They could come from parallel reality. They could come from outer space. They could come from the Earth. It could be elementals in a slightly different dimension creating these. We just don't know.
We long for magic. We long for something to take us out of the mundane, to take us into a place where we feel connected. These circles connect us to our very essence, our being, our core.
Those who have entered a newly formed crop circle, whether it's man-made or from unexplained origins, say a mysterious energy takes hold. Since the late 70s, thousands of crop circles have appeared overnight along the countryside of southern England. The mystifying and complex designs have enchanted visitors and beguiled researchers, inspiring many theories about who was designing the cryptic symbols, from extraterrestrials to ancient religious cults to a group of secretive local artists. And as with any beguiling phenomenon, the crop circles have drawn people from all over the world with a wide array of interpretations.
I do believe there are angelic entities, forces beyond us, divine forces beyond us, that are directly communicating with the circle makers.
You know, I've become pretty cynical over the years. It's been going on 15 years now, and I've probably had over 100 different formations in that time. And to me, every time I look at it, it's just, you know, lost crop.
This phenomena, past and future, it's part of evolution. Perhaps it is a quirk of nature we don't understand. But those interactions and those strange things that have happened to us, to me, I just can't get away. I cannot let go of the idea that something is aware of everything we do.
Go with no expectation. Just be. Just be who you are and let it, whatever it is, happen.
First time I walked into a crop circle, it was just an amazing experience. It definitely feels like the space that you're in is just somehow different. Somehow slightly strange and mysterious.
Simeon Hine is a teacher of resonant viewing and an author who offers tours to recently discovered crop circles along the ancient British countryside.
We're going to Silbury Hill, which is an ancient earth mound. It's the oldest earth mound in Europe and the largest earth mound in Europe, and it's over 5,000 years old. It's right next to the town of Avebury, which is the oldest city in Europe. Avebury is considered the New York City of the Neolithic world.
In the shadow of Silbury Hill, an ancient earth mound, a recent crop circle has formed, the designers unknown. Simeon believes the circles work like semiconductors, transmitting energy from the human mind.
There has been a lot of work recently in a whole new area that's called subtle energy science, and it really has to do how human thought can affect a physical space. You meditate on a space, it becomes a conditioned space. And we suspect that the crop circle is a conditioned space, partly because so many people are focusing their energy on it.
In fact, reports of electrical failure and power surges are common in crop circles and have been known to wreak havoc on electronic equipment. For many, further proof that this is a paranormal phenomenon, not just the product of an overactive imagination.
Yeah, what I'm doing here is measuring the electrostatic gradient in the crop circle. And what we often find in a lot of these crop circles is that the electrostatic gradient outside the circle is very weak. It doesn't change very much as you go up from the ground. But in the circle, there's a 30, 40, 100-volt change.
Dowsing rods also lead many to believe in the power of the signs. Scientists can't account for the anomalies inside the circle. Could the energy levels be the sign of an unknown superior technology from outer space? Or is it the result of a collective human consciousness?
People are part of the mystery. And that's really what it seems to be all about, is that these circles really seem to be pushing our whole idea of what's even possible.
The British Isles aren't alone when it comes to the unexplained. South America is drenched in mystery. In Peru, are secret water sources hidden beneath gigantic designs in the desert sand? In our quest to uncover the secrets behind the world's most mysterious signs, we travel nearly 6,000 miles from the enchanted British Isles to Peru, a country shrouded in mystery. Located along Peru's southern coast lies the Nazca Desert, a dry plateau, or pampa, that stretches for 37 miles along the Pacific coast. It's one of the driest, most scarcely populated places on Earth, and home to one of the most spectacular signs on the planet, the Nazca Lines. Just over 80 years ago, locals and visitors alike had no idea these lines even existed, though scholars date the lines and figures back to the days before Christ. But how could thousands of perfectly designed lines, shapes, and intricately drawn animal and plant figures, some over 9 miles long, go unnoticed? Take a plane ride over the Nazca Valley, and one of the world's greatest mysteries unfolds. The Nazca Lines were only first discovered in the 1920s, when commercial flights began flying over southern Peru, and pilots began reporting strange sights on the desert below. And since then, the mystery of the lines has captured the minds of the world. But who drew these cryptic images visible only from the sky? And more importantly, what were they trying to say?
The gigantic forms were clearly meant for communicating with the gods. For that reason, the figures are so huge.
For the ancient Peruvians, people didn't die. They simply stopped living in this world in order to go onto the next world of their ancestors.
Find here many people that they are sure have seen many UFOs around this area.
Travelers flock to this mysterious region of Peru to see if they can make a cosmic connection, not only in the sky, but also on the ground. Ancient Nazca pottery bears an uncanny resemblance to the modern-day eyewitness accounts of UFOs hovering overhead. Eduardo Horan is a commercial pilot who has been flying visitors over the lines for decades. For Eduardo, the Nazca lines are much more than a popular attraction.
Around the world, there is only one Nazca lines.
Flying over the Nazca lines is the best way to appreciate their sheer size. But back on solid ground, we're able to look closer at the clues. The exact number of lines and figures is unknown. Some say there are thousands of images covering over 400 square miles in the Nazca and Pampa regions. Archaeologists believe the drawings were made starting in 200 BC, long before the Incas and long before visitors began to flock to this mysterious region.
Word of the geoglyphs was already circulating in the time of the Incas and were considered drawings made by previous generations. The first person to discover the lines in the 1920s was Paul Kosak.
Paul Kosak was an archaeologist who believed that the lines were somehow related to the stars. Kosak and German mathematician Maria Reiki both dedicated their lives to understanding the Nazca lines. They both died before they found the answers, but their research reveals startling results. And after 50 years of research, Reiki believed the lines and figures comprised a vast astronomical calendar.
Definitely, some of the hieroglyphics do have an astronomical relationship, in particular the solstice and the equinox, and also the measurement of time and the seasons.
But the quest for answers soon turned away from the sky, and researchers began digging for secrets flowing beneath the earth. Perhaps learning more about how the Nazca lived would give researchers insight on what they were trying to say.
We know that the water is one of the elements related to the hieroglyphics, like the worship of water and fertility. The water for the Nazca was extremely important, since living in the desert, water signified life.
The Nazca were able to irrigate the desert for farming, but in a land that receives an average of 20 minutes of light rain per year, how did they do it? One theory proposed that the Nazca lines were related to a system of underground rivers linked to a giant underground aquifer. Could the Nazca lines serve as a clandestine map of secret water sources?
We have enough evidence in the platforms that they built close to the geoglyphs. They made different ceremonies, especially offerings, which are clearly related to ask water to the gods.
But by digging up the past, archaeologists found a darker side to the Nazca culture. The discoveries of several necropolises, or cities of the dead, revealed the sacred but gruesome rituals of death. Perhaps it will also reveal the hidden meaning behind the Nazca lines. In the 1920s, when airplanes first began to fly over the mystical desert landscape of southern Peru, pilots began reporting mysterious and spectacular signs etched in the desert floor. After several decades of dead-end theories and talk of UFOs, the Nazca lines remained an enigma. Why did the Nazca people etch these enormous figures, lines, and shapes in the middle of the desert at a time when no one could fly? The entire desert is covered by a layer of ferrous oxide rock that was dispersed from a massive volcanic eruption millions of years ago. For eons, neither wind nor rain disturbed the lines. But how did they design these complex patterns over such great distances? We've tracked down the two men who may hold the clues. Josue Lancho, a professor of history and archaeology, and Jorge Garcia, who worked with the legendary German mathematician Maria Reiki for 30 years. Jorge was present during the discovery of several sites and has a particular artifact that could prove to be a critical piece of the puzzle.
We found these tupus in the field somewhere. Maria Reiki and I tried to see how we could make the lines more straight with a viewing device or something like that.
Tupus are rudimentary surveying tools and were apparently found at the site of several Nazca lines. According to Jorge, by allowing light to pass through two of the tupus, one could make a perfectly straight line over a great distance. Jorge believes that the Nazca people created these amazing geoglyphs spanning thousands of years by using simple instruments and basic geometry. Jorge also found several bits of ceramics which could reveal what the lines were used for. According to Jorge Garcia, the Nazca believed they were born in distant constellations, and the geoglyphs were signs meant for their ancestors millions of miles away. But as an archaeologist, Josue Lancho disagrees with his friend and believes the Nazca lines have a far more earthly significance. Located less than a mile from the nearest Nazca line is the necropolis of Chowchilla.
We're here in grave number one. We see a mummy wearing a red tunic. For these people, death didn't exist. It was a journey to the world of their ancestors.
Archaeologists began finding many of the same ceremonial artifacts and ceramics in these graves as were found at the site of the Nazca lines. Were the lines somehow connected to these elaborate rituals of death?
The cult of the dead is a very special practice that was observed in ancient times, but also in cultures throughout the world. In respect to the Nazca culture, they've channeled this practice through their iconography on their textiles and ceramics.
The ceremonial ceramics found at both Chowchilla and in the Pampas prove that the Nazca lines were somehow used in ancient rituals, but the connection still wasn't clear. The biggest breakthrough came with the discovery of another ancient site, the lost city of Coachi. First thought to be a large urban center, Coachi was actually an entire city dedicated solely to religious ceremonies. The ancient ceramics found at Coachi, like the ones found at Chowchilla, were important clues to the mystery. But archaeologists found themselves in a desperate race against grave robbers for these precious artifacts. What priceless treasures the looters didn't take are safely stored at a local museum, where scientists can study them in hopes of uncovering a link between the pictures on the pottery and the pictures in the sand.
Coachi and the Nazca lines are only separated by 1 or 2 kilometers. This was a center dedicated to ceremonial rites. The people of Coachi could use the Nazca lines and figures as a location to carry out their ceremonies to the gods.
Coachi was the religious center of the Nazca world, and Jorge believes the long web of lines found in the desert were interconnecting pathways leading from Coachi out to the elaborate figures. We may never know for sure what the Nazca lines were meant to say, but their magic lies in their obscurity. The Nazca people left great images in the desert, not for themselves, but for others, for gods, for the cosmos, or maybe for us.
It is possible the Nazca people die and the spirit is up on the sky and see the lines. And for me, it's wow, why not, you know?
From the mysterious stones of Ica and the giant Stonehenge to the designs left behind in the Peruvian sand or popping up in crop fields, signs from around the world have fascinated and inspired mankind for years. What message do we take from these cryptic signs? Perhaps the answer can be found in the common ground of all ancient civilizations. Perhaps ancient civilizations were warning of grave danger or trying to convey a message of hope, inspiring us and sparking our imaginations.